Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show. I just had a spirited discussion with Pastor Drew Sams in the break, and we will have it together publicly for all of you. Welcome back. This is Bruce Allen, and it is Dad's Point of View. That's the name of my radio show and my column. And we have Pastor Drew Sams with us, who has been my longest-running guest. He is the pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California. He is a happily married man and the father of baby Judah Andrew. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me on again.
Well, I know this topic is going to be ripe for you. As I ended the previous segment by actually just dawning on me, even though it's obvious that the Bible is filled with people that have made mistakes and have recovered or not recovered, and it's the Bible is the lesson in what failure teaches us. So before you get into it, and I will just sit back and enjoy and listen and learn, shall we have an update and a health and welfare on baby Judah Andrew? All right. How is he doing?
Oh, thanks again for asking, Judah. He's almost 19 months, having tons of fun. It was so fun last week picking out our first pumpkin with him for Halloween. And we went to a place. It's like this huge family farm, and they ship in all these pumpkins. And so he was just crawling over this huge field of pumpkins. We got some great photos. I'll actually send it to you.
You didn't send me his costume photos.
I know. You know, we took it with what I call a real camera, not a phone camera. So I gotta upload them still, you know, do all that stuff. So, what I will send you right now, though, is him traipsing through this field of pumpkins. Have fun. I can be on a landline with you and send that to you on my cell phone.
Isn't that wild? Okay, so I wrote a column called Failure is Your Greatest Teacher. I probably could have subtitled it Lessons from the Bible. So where would you like to go with this topic, and can you possibly cover it in the 9 or 10 minutes that we've got together?
I don't think I can, but, you know, wherever we start, I know that we'll cover a lot of different things, even in a little bit of time together. But, you know, as we were sharing with each other on the break, you know, when you look through the Bible, you see these people that we regard today as, you know, heroes of the faith. And in fact, there's a list in one of the books of the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, and some people refer to this section of Scripture as the Great Hall of Faith, kind of like a Hall of Fame, but this is the Hall of Faith. And so I'm just going to read briefly some of these names, these characters, and I'll tell you my perspective on it in a moment. But it's got all these sentences that start with the same phrase, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith Jacob, on and on and on. It lists like 13 different people. And it says all these different things, and it basically celebrates and ends with this verse. These were all commended for their faith. They were all celebrated for their faith. But when you go back and you read the accounts of their lives, man, they made mistake after mistake, failure after failure. And I'm amazed that when God looks back at some of these people, that even despite their failures, they moved through them. They didn't blame others. They
what?
Recognized.
They didn't blame others?
Yeah. There was that quote that you shared. Who was it? John Burroughs, I believe. A man can fail many times, but he isn't a failure until he begins to blame somebody else.
Gee, anybody we can think of in public office that likes to do that?
All over.
Actually, both sides of the aisle, too,
even though
I'm a little more biased towards our current president and his cohorts. But let's move on and stay on the faith and religion, because I think that is a little more universal.
Sure. So what's so interesting is here there's this, you know, long list of people who are remembered, you know, thousands of years after their lives, and they're celebrated not because of they were perfect, but because they, despite their failures, despite their mistakes, they continued to move forward. They acknowledged it. They moved on. They let God use them in tremendous ways. And I think there's a lot of wisdom there in how we approach our mistakes, because it's impossible to live a life mistake-free.
Well, except me. I've never made a mistake. That's what I tell my kids. And they believed it up to about 3 months old, and then they started giving me that look.
So my son's past that now. It's almost 19 months. He looks at me and he knows exactly.
He gives you that look of, yeah, sure, Dad.
Yeah, it's so easy, though. But I think it's true, and you touched on it in your column, that, you know, we do live in a society where there's really not much permission sometimes for people to make mistakes. There's not really even many heroes right now in our society that fail well. That there's very few people who fail forward, who, you know, fail and they get through it and come out better than the other side. You've got some, and you know that Michael Jordan quote that you shared, and I love that. There was even a video I think they made. Maybe it was a Nike commercial a couple years ago. And he is quoted as saying, "I missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. 26 times I was trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed." And how great for him to not just talk about how many rings he's won, you know, how many game-winning shots he's made, but to look at the other coin. You know, I've even heard it said that Thomas Edison, before he invented the light bulb and many of the other inventions that he did successfully do, how many failed attempts he had at different inventions. And can you imagine if
including the light bulb, it was thousands and thousands of efforts. Now, had he given up, which I think a lot of our modern generation would, might not have had those things as soon as we did. I mean, I'm sure somebody would have come up with it later. But it's that resilience that I'm worried about among our kids.
Well, and here's another interesting thing. So with Thomas Edison, for example,
yes,
every single human who's listening right now, their life is better because the light bulb was created. I mean, there's no arguing that. And so if he would have given up, perhaps somebody else would have invented it, but who knows how history would have played out. But because he was willing to get through those failures, to not blame other people, but to, you know, charge ahead, he actually began to contribute to and make the world a better place. And I wonder how many people living today are giving up after a few failures, and how much is the world missing out on what they could contribute, whether it's just words of encouragement, whether it's, baking a cake. They failed a few times. It just doesn't come out right. You know, imagine if they got through that. Finally, imagine how many people would be blessed, encouraged, and better off because of their willingness to not let failure hinder them.
Well, the biggest example of this is almost every cure for every disease, every vaccination. The failure rate of all the great vaccinations from Louis Pasteur blank on his name, the guy who did the polio vaccine, Salk. These guys went through, sleepless nights, tortured moments of they were so close, and then, boom, it didn't work, and they kept on doing it and doing it and doing it. And all our great cures were met with thousands, if not tens of thousands of failures before they hit on the right combination that worked.
Boy, the world's such a better place because of their willingness, their bravery, you could say.
I think it's
charge
bravery.
Through.
It's so much easier to give up than to keep on going. And not only that, okay, when you're looking for a cure for something, there's actually no guarantee you're going to find it. So you're actually acting on a certain degree of faith. In sports, taking that analogy, you know you can always do better at a sport. But can we find a cure for cancer? Can we find a cure for the common cold or whatever it is that people have looked for cures? There's actually not any example that it might work. You know, AIDS for the longest time didn't seem to be any sort of cure. Now we seem to have a management of it. There's still no cure. So these people that take on those tasks, think about it. They don't even know that they can succeed. In a sport, you at least have models of success. Now, the irony of sports, by the way, I just have to get to it. My favorite sport example in this regard, to take the Michael Jackson thing that you took, is baseball. The best baseball player in the world misses 2 out of 3 times.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I never think of that.
I mean, they fail more than they succeed, and they're the stars.
Yeah, that's so true.
With the one exception being the recent World Series where the Boston Red Sox guy, I forgot his name, you know, batted like 690. That was just extraordinary. But that was in a short period of time, and it was really a one-off thing. But they get up, they strike out 10 times in a row, or like the guy that hit that game-running home run. He was failed at bat 12 or 13 or 14 times, and then he hit the game-running three-run home run.
Well, and you think about pitchers, too. I mean, the best pitchers, very rarely do they even finish all nine innings. You know, they could pitch a shutout and get pulled in the seventh, you know, for strategy. That reminds me, when my wife was young, I think she was maybe 7 or 8 years old. It was her first time she'd ever played sports, and the first thing she tried was softball. And they chose her. She looks back and has no idea why, but they chose her to be the pitcher. And so she pitched and went through a few innings and didn't give up any hits. It was amazing. But then the coach pulled her to put somebody else in. She had no idea how softball worked. And so she felt like this huge failure. And she looks back on that time as a little kid and she says, I ended up quitting the team, you know, a couple weeks later because I was so mortified that I was pulled out of the game. And nobody took the time to really explain to her.
Wow.
And, you know, and she ended up not playing sports at all growing up. You know, she was the third of, you know, three children, and, you know, family was already busy. And so there's some of that reason as well. How interesting that she looks back on that years later and she remembers that so vividly and how much that impacted her.
Believe it or not, we're almost out of time. You had a quote from Proverbs you wanted to share. I'd like to get that in before we wrap up.
Yeah, so King Solomon, regarded as the wisest person ever lived, said this, Proverbs 28:13, he says this, whoever conceals their mistakes does not prosper, but the one who acknowledges them and goes through them finds mercy and peace. And it's so easy when we do make mistakes, what much we want to just cover it up, to hide it, to conceal it. And ultimately, we'll never prosper. The people around us will never prosper if we just hold those things back and hide those things. Good words of wisdom.
Absolutely. So where can we find you not blogging currently, Pastor Drew?
Not blogging at drewsams.com, but all over the social networks, at Surfer Drew.
All right, Pastor Drew. Great to talk to you, and we will talk next week. Stay tuned for Dr. Weberman, who will have, I am sure, some interesting thoughts on failure and success. Stay tuned. Show and a Twitter too. Hashtag Dadchick. Check that bit out, fool. Instagram and Facebook, dude. Yo, peace out. He's one hit fool. Yo, happy Father's Day, Dad. I know you don't like rap, but hope you like this one. I mean, I think it's rad. Thank you.